This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional healthcare and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, it's 6 o'clock or close to 6 o'clock, and it's time again for Brain Matters. This is our first show of the semester, so we're a little bit rusty tonight. If we have a few mess-ups, we apologize, but this is the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from the WVUA FM studio, 90.7, the Capstone, on the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther. I'm the host of the show, and in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, especially UA students. So you can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM or online at www.wvuafm.ua.edu, or you can also download the Crimson White app and click on the 90.7 live streaming link. Tonight we'll be taking questions via email, so if you have them, please email your questions to brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. And let me remind you, this is not a call-in show yet. I'm going to say that this year because I keep saying that. So I ask that you don't call in to the station with questions at this time, but you can email your questions to the address I just gave you, and I'll give that email address out periodically throughout the show, if I remember. Also, if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, you know, we're in the process of coming up with ideas for the show, and I've got some really interesting shows coming up this semester, but we're always needing new and innovative ideas. Of course, I'll consider using your idea, brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. That's our email. Just email those to me, and I'll do my best to put those on the air. Tonight's topic is one that I like to start off with. You know, I like to start off at the beginning of the semester with a topic that students can relate to early in the semester, whether it's homesickness or adjustment issues, resiliency. So tonight we're going to start talking about how academically mature are you? Procrastination and motivation can be killers if you're just starting out in college. And if you don't get a grip on it early on, it will plague you throughout your college career. I know that, being a counselor at the Counseling Center, and I know that from personal experience too. Tonight, my guest is from the Center for Academic Success. Her name is Hala Saeed. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Hala. She tells me before we came on the show that she's been working at the center just for a few semesters, but I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about herself. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit, get a little bit closer to the microphone if you would. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you end up working at the Center for Academic Success, and what is the center?
Right, so my undergrad and my graduate degrees kind of have nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. However, while working, in the past 7 years, I've been working with first-generation students with athletes on the academic aspect of, my work. The Center for Academic Success actually started in June, so I've only been there for a few months. It gives academic support to our undergrad students. We have different programs. We have tutoring services for math, accounting, biology, chemistry, and econ. But also on the other side, we focus on giving students kind of long-term and permanent study skills that could help them throughout their career here and for every classes. So we do a lot of workshops that focus on study skills and learning strategies.
Is the center utilized a lot? You know, how do students know about this? How is it publicized? Do they get, when they come in as freshmen, do they get, advertisements for or notifications about the center? And do you mostly see freshmen, or is it all levels?
It's for all students, for all undergrad students.
Okay, we're going to have to change microphones. Sorry. Let's try that microphone. Hala.
Is it better?
I don't know. Can you hear her? Maybe get up a little bit closer to it.
No.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah, we'll share.
Yeah, so it's for all undergrads, so it's not just specifically for freshmen. And we, in terms of promotion advertising, we do Bama Bound, so a lot of times we send our students, and we give a lot of information about the center and the services that we offer. But also we do presentations, class presentations, we speak to classes. Classes also are invited to our center, so we have classes that come and we give them a tour of what we do and who we are.
How difficult is it to get in with somebody to tutor, for tutoring? And also, you know, you named some of the classes or some of the subjects that you offer tutoring in. What would a student do? Could they still contact the center if you don't offer tutoring in that specific subject? Could you find somebody to help that student?
Yes, definitely. If the student comes and they need help in something else, like this summer I had a student that needed help in philosophy, so we don't offer tutoring in that subject. But what I did is I referred him to the department of philosophy, and he went there and he was able to get someone to tutor him in that subject. So if we don't have the service that it's needed for the students, we try to connect them with another resource.
I mentioned to you before the show, when we were talking before the show, that I always read, and research for the show, so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. This I'm very familiar with, procrastination and motivation. I see this so often at the counseling center. I don't know how many students a day probably come in with this issue. And it leads to, you know, a lot of other issues. If you're procrastinating then and you don't have the motivation, there may be a core reason why that is. You could be depressed. You could just be lost in the subject, whatever you're doing. You could be bored. But it will really catch up with you if you don't conquer it or try to do something about it. I wanted to read an excerpt from an article that I read earlier today. Let me see if I can find it and get your opinion on it. When we discuss student motivation, what we are really talking about is whether or not students have made educational activities a true priority, whether they have chosen to fully invest their time and energy in their college experience. Do you find that true?
Yes, definitely. A lot of students, they come. It kind of becomes, especially with this new generation, it becomes kind of a cultural habit to go to college. Mm-hmm. So they are kind of motivated by teachers or parents to come, but the educational mindset, they don't necessarily have that or the motivation. So when they come here, a lot of times they don't have like meaningful educational goals. Yes. And because of that, it's really hard for them to keep doing the work and to do it well and just to stay on track. A lot of times, if the students, if they don't have a concrete reason or, motivation to attend college and to get the right education, it's hard for them to keep going and to do well.
And we'll talk a little bit more about what you touched on as far as the generational aspect of the students who are coming in. In fact, this year, but what I've seen in the past few years, you're exactly right. It's very difficult for them to stay focused because they have different priorities, I guess you could say. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. One of the biggest obstacles to doing well in school, I've already mentioned, is procrastination. Why do you think that is? We're going to try a new microphone here, Hala. So speak into that and see if it works and get pretty close to it.
Does this one?
So why do you think one of the biggest obstacles to doing well in school is procrastination?
Procrastination in general has mental effect on students. When they push everything to the last minute, a lot of times they feel like high levels of stress and anxiety. So that affects their health, but at the same time, the quality of the work is a lot of times not great.
That's right.
So that does affect them. in terms, even for a lot of students, they think that, you know, it works for them to, you know, do it the last.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I call that the mother of all excuses.
Right. So it does. Perhaps it would work, you know, for the first exam or for a specific class that's.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that doesn't go in depth in concept.
Or it worked for them in high school.
It, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one common error, you know, that happened, a mistake from, you know, from just waiting for the last minute is, like, you know, you don't give your memory to come from information. You might recall the following day, but after a week, you kind of just forget what you memorized.
Right.
Studied. So it does kind of harm them, you know, in the long.
Okay, I'm going to get personal here because I've shared a little bit about my, you know, I don't feel like I procrastinate as bad as someone else, right? But I procrastinate. Everybody procrastinates, right? How did you learn? Do you feel like you have good study skills personally? And does that bleed over into when you're working with a student? Do you give them examples of, like, what you do to keep motivated and to keep from procrastinating?
I mean, as an undergrad and graduate, I mean, definitely I did procrastinate just because, you know, a lot of times we're, you know, we have too many different responsibilities. So sometimes even if you're motivated, you still kind of have procrastinate just because you have a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
But I know for me as an undergrad, and, you know, I guess this is what my mentors have pointed out. I've been able to motivate myself and to get the work and even to go to college. I didn't have, you know, my parents did not want me anyways to go to college.
Uh-huh.
Pressure to support me. But because I wanted that and that was kind of a goal that I pursued and it was meaningful to me, and I did kind of, you know, foresee myself or imagine myself.
Sure.
Being, you know, an intellectual or, you know, having a degree and being a professional.
In academia.
Yeah. So just having that as a freshman, that kind of just helped me, you know, kind of just.
To motivate you.
Yes, it did. It motivated me. It helped me stay on track and to do well in my classes, even if I didn't like them.
There's another thing, and we're going to take a couple of breaks, and yeah. But when we come back, I do want to talk about, you know, when students, I mean, I've done this myself, and you probably have, you just said you have, you know, I've been in classes before where I think, this is such a waste of time. Why am I having to take this? I'm a psychology major. Why do I need to take biology? You know? And I hear, in counseling, I hear a lot of students, their frustration is with, you know, trying to figure out, why am I having to do this? This is just a waste of my time. And they get so hung up on that that is kind of a form of avoidance, and they don't do what they need to do to get out of that class and make a good grade, because it reflects on you, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so yeah, it's, I think for me, this is what I always tell my students and even my younger siblings is, you know, pursuing college, your goal should be, you know, to learn. So if you have that in mind, it doesn't matter if it's connected or related to your field or not. But if in your mind, you know, your goal is to learn and to develop intellectually and professionally, then, you know, that will help you stay motivated. So that's one thing that I keep in mind, you know, that I kept in mind for myself, and this is what I share with my students. It's just like, your main goal is to learn. It doesn't matter what course or if it's connected to your major or not.
Right.
And then another way is, you know, I always just tell students that, you know, whatever class that they're taking is going to bring them closer to their, you know, educational goal or professional goal. So just keep that in mind, kind of, we'll kind of just make you get up the next day and just go to class that you don't necessarily like.
We're going to take a break right now. We realize we're having some technical problems with the sound, and we're going to try to correct that during this break. But Hala, when we come back, I want to talk about the keys to helping students stay motivated in college. We've touched on it a little bit, but I've got some a list that I'm going to go through and see what you think about that list. How about that? We're going to take a break right now just for a few minutes. We'll be back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Andrew.
This is David.
We're the Revivalists. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We have been having some technical difficulty. This is our first show of the semester, so we're all a little bit rusty. Hopefully, we've got the kinks out and we can continue on with the show. Tonight, we're talking about how academically mature are you as a student and how procrastination and motivation influence your academic maturity, I guess you would say. My guest tonight is Hala Saeed. She is from the Center for Academic Success, and I think, Hala, you're also a student, right?
I was, not anymore.
Okay, so you're finished, but yes. You've got a master's degree.
Yes, ma'am.
So you obviously know how to study.
Yes.
But, you know, there are a lot of students I know we have a lot of students who are on scholarship, and they come into college with good grades, and sometimes they don't do as well as they thought they were going to do. You know, we just touched on a lot of them do not think that they need to change their study skills mm-hmm. to fit the college environment, but they do.
Yeah, a lot of students have difficulties transitioning from high school to college. So in high school, a lot of times, you know, they're kind of taught to memorize. The teacher and the parents are kind of the source for motivation. So they tell them, you know, study, do homework, and the teacher tell them this is what will be on the test. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like they feed them everything.
They do,
unfortunately, but they don't know how much they harm the students because they kind of become dependent on, you know, those kind of things. So when they come here, you know, they're going to have, you know, the source for motivation is kind of like the inner self. So you're going to have to motivate yourself.
That is the hardest. I'm so glad you touched on that because I see a lot of students at the counseling center, and that's the most difficult thing. Sometimes they'll come in angry because a professor did not do this, this, and this. And
right.
I'm like, you're going to have to understand they're not going to coddle you.
Definitely, you know, and it goes back to, which I think is the most kind of troubling or the most dangerous thing that our students have is kind of their attitude. They don't want to take responsibility for their academic performance. And that's why some of them are, you know, they don't improve mm-hmm. because they're not willing to take responsibility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they do, you know, if they have kind of like a growing mindset and they're positive that, you know, if they take responsibility and say, well, you know, I probably didn't study the right way, or I didn't spend enough time studying for this course. Next time I'll study more. I'll study ahead of time. I'll try harder. But unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, the students kind of just play, you know, kind of the victim card, and mm-hmm, they just mm-hmm. blame everyone else but themselves for everything.
Yes, and that's one of the articles I read that I was telling you about when I was doing research. That, I think, was one of the first issues that the author was talking about is how people will blame other people and they don't take that responsibility. Do you ever recommend that your students talk to other students in the class, other students who are doing well?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we have good students, and I can share that even from personal experience, that even if you're motivated and you have the right, you know, study skills or whatnot, a lot of times when you are surrounded by negative students or students that don't want to take responsibility, you know, if you get immersed in that kind of culture and you hear negative attitude, you know, all the time, sometimes you kind of just get sucked into that.
That's right.
So it is really important to be surrounded by the right kind of students. It doesn't have to be like, you know, smart students, but students that have kind of just positive attitude, mm-hmm. students that are mature, they're responsible. You know, just be surrounded by that kind of, you know, students would help you tremendously.
Yeah, and I think some people, though, get hung up on ego, or they're embarrassed to ask other students, like their peers, because they don't want to appear like they're dumb or lazy, you know.
Definitely. You know, our students are very bashful. You know, even the ones that...
I've heard that. Yeah. In a long time, bashful.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, they're self-entitled, you know, and they don't want to, you know, take responsibility or not. But a lot of times that kind of just stems from, like, their lack of confidence or
fear.
Just being fear or just being shy. Yeah. So a lot of them, you know, they're just... Especially a lot of them, it has been like kind of like a major goal to come to the university.
Yeah.
So to say I'm not, to admit that I'm not doing well or I need help, that, you know, it kind of, you know, make them think that they have failed
or
they're not good enough. Yeah.
Failing.
Yeah. And that's why even, you know, we have a lot of academic resources that, you know, that could help them. But sometimes, you know, honestly, a lot of students don't come, or especially the students that need those kind of services,
yes.
They don't take advantage of it. And it goes back to just being shy,
yes,
you know.
And it's hard for me to understand that because I have seen students, upperclassmen, who didn't take advantage of the services that we have, like the Center for Academic Success, when they were younger, in freshman or sophomore year, and they spend the rest of their time here at UA trying to improve their GPA.
Definitely.
Because of some, you know, class that really doesn't matter for their, I guess you could say, for their major. And they looked at it that way.
Yes.
And it bites you.
Definitely.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, now, like with the Center for Academic Success, for example, we're trying to have, you know, we have a new program like the academic coaching, and that one is more personalized, like a personalized process where you sit, you know, an academic coach like myself or my colleague would sit one-on-one with the student and just give them like the one-on-one attention and give that, you know, try to understand what issues are they facing and what study skills do they need, what resources do they need. So we're hoping by having this program, we just launched it, you know, this fall. So we're hoping that, you know, just given the privacy and given like one-on-one attention to the student, will motivate them to come and just, you know, take advantage of our, you know, of our staff and services.
Before, I think that's what they're used to. Having
attention.
And not being on their own so much.
For
a little while, anyway. You know, before the break, I mentioned some of the keys to keeping students motivated. What do you think are some of the keys? I mean, I have a list that I've read about, and I want to run through this with you. So you tell me if you talk to students about these keys to motivation. Setting goals.
Yeah, I mean, goals give you a sense of direction, right?
Yes.
And they guide you, you know, throughout
your time. As long as they're realistic.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they have to be clear and
yes.
specific, and it's something that you could measure. And so, you know, for example, like a long-term goal would be, you know, to graduate, you know, in nursing in 4 years.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a short-term goal would be, you know, to like read, I mean, to have an A in English or something like that. So those kind of goals do help because they kind of just make you look forward to something and they keep you engaged and focused. So having those kind of goals is really, really important. Sometimes having the professional goal of like graduating from the university is not enough because that will take 4 years. So it's important to set, you know, like short-term goals in between, you know, for the semester or even weekly goals.
And with goals come rewards.
Definitely.
If you meet your goals, I mean, I don't know how many people actually do this or talk about it, have goals, and then they reward themselves, you know, with just something little. Maybe a nice meal or a movie or a video game or something.
Definitely.
When you reach your goal, it gives you an incentive.
Yeah, and it gives you kind of just personal satisfaction,
exactly.
too, so that when you do have fun, you kind of enjoy what you're doing because, you know, you feel like you did what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
So it does give you kind of like a great sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. So, yeah, it's really, really
Even
important.
Even if you're not in school.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah. That's for everything. Yeah.
another strategy for boosting that motivation is you need to realize that there are going to be setbacks and you can't give up.
Definitely. And you know, setbacks are learning experiences.
Yes.
So, you know, you always learn from that. And you know, when you make a mistake, you know, you definitely don't make the mistake again. So it is a learning experience, and it's okay to fall, you know.
I think a big one for freshmen especially, and some upperclassmen, I mean, for a lot of people actually, is learning to say no and being able to have some boundaries. You know, you really want to go out on Wednesday night with your friends, but you really need to stay home and study because you're not doing that well in a course.
Definitely. I mean, as a student, you always have, you know, to be a little bit selfish.
I guess.
Yeah, and to be direct.
Especially a graduate student, yeah.
And to be direct with your, you know, with your peers and your friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, to learn to say no when it's time to study or to do a project.
It's so hard, though. It's so hard because I think a lot of kids are afraid that they're not going to be asked again, or
they're not going to be liked. Yeah,
yeah, they're not going to be liked, or somebody's going to forget about them, or, you know, they won't be popular.
Yeah, but you know what? If you be yourself, you know, the right people will like you.
True.
That makes sense. True. So
it goes back to what you said. You got to find the kids who are studying like you and taking it serious like you are taking
definitely.
It seriously.
Definitely. And I mean, just being here, you're investing your time, your effort, your money. You know, you're away from home. So there's a lot at stake.
Here's the big one. Cultivate discipline. That's hard.
It could be. But you know what? You could start with just like, you know, kind of discipline yourself to take 15 minutes to review notes or to read. And you could just start by doing that 15 minutes a day. So you don't have to set, like, you know, crazy and overwhelming goals. You could just start, you know, by disciplining yourself gradually. So just like 15 minutes a day would be helpful. And when you get that 15 minutes, that will motivate you to spend more time, and that 15 minute could turn to 3 hours a day of studying and doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But it's okay to start with, like, you know, with just 15 minutes or even 10 minutes.
And, you know, I'm at the Counseling Center. Hala's at the Center for Academic Success. You know, a student may need to seek support, whether it's at the Counseling Center, whether it's the Center for Academic Success, whether it's through maybe a professor even, maybe an RA in one of the dorms, maybe a roommate. But seeking support is going to give you that motivation to continue on.
Definitely, yeah. Especially, you know, I always advise, you know, my students just to be engaged. It could be, you know, to have like a faculty as their mentor,
exactly,
or a staff or an upperclassman, anyone. Because, you know, when you have that kind of support system, someone to guide you, someone to, you know, just to help you kind of just take advantage of everything, you know, around you, someone that have walked that path, it does kind of keep you motivated. Because, you know, you could, you know, I know for me, my mentors, you know, meant like I kind of did more work just because they're watching me and they're supporting me.
It kind of holds you accountable.
It does, and it motivates you to do more.
And you hit on something I wanted to mention. Another thing that I learned in my research a little bit was, you know, most of the kids these days, millennials, you know, they were raised on technology and entertainment style communication. So I think they get bored with lectures. They
Definitely.
Get bored with PowerPoint, and need more interaction. One of the things that was mentioned in this article, and the article is actually called Motivating Today's College Student. It's from the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And I'm not sure what year it was written, but it was recent. I want to say 2014, but it may have been a little further back. The principles are still pertinent now. But another thing that it mentioned is that I think you just touched on this, students really enjoy being in groups now more.
You know,
and they'll participate, and it can be because of their peer network, you know, and the groups help motivate them. Students are generally very peer network oriented, preferring to work and socialize in groups, is what the article states. And
yeah, definitely. There's,
I can see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions. I mean, it's okay to, I mean, we all kind of feel the need to belong to a certain group, so that there's nothing wrong with that. It's natural. But, you know, it's important to stay focused For this generation, it's hard. Just like you said, you know, they're used to, you know, being distracted by Facebook, by phones,
yeah,
by videos.
It is hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions, and because of that, it's really difficult for them to discipline themselves to read this chapter, because to them that's just uninteresting. It's
that's right.
Yeah, but you know, I always tell my students, and especially for the classes that require a lot of reading or they're not interested in that subject, you know, I always just kind of just advise them to interact and with the material.
Right.
And so just not just read it and or read it more than once, but you know, just use all of your senses.
Uh-huh.
When you're reading, you know, pace, stand up, you know, when instead of just taking notes and copying word for word, why not try to use examples, you know, apply what you're learning mm-hmm. into an example, dark cartoons, you know, be visual.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just kind of being active and being engaged with the material will help you stay focused and be motivated to finish.
And I mean, one of the things that I read too was a lot of students are not really focusing on learning so much. They're more focused, and I can see this with some of the kids that I work with at the counseling center. They're more focused on making the grade to
mm-hmm.
get into graduate school, you know,
mm-hmm.
rather than actually learning, like you're saying,
engaging
yeah. with the subject.
Yeah, and I think for me, what motivated, I mean, I didn't, till I was a junior, I didn't have a major.
Mm-hmm. A junior in college?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I jumped from one major to another, but while doing that, I've always kind of just loved learning and just doing well in
yes.
whatever
yes.
major or class I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
And that kind of just helped me, you know, just to keep, you know, staying
keep
motivated,
yeah,
and keep going. So, yeah, it's really, it should be the primary goal for any student should be to learn and to become an independent learner and not just get fixated on grades.
Well, and not every person is meant to go to college.
Definitely,
and I
yes.
I think so many young kids in high school, that is, I mean, they're basically corralled
yes.
to going to college, and they get here and they hate it.
Definitely, yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, it's became like kind of a cultural habit. You know, you graduate high school, you go to college. And a lot of times you don't know what you want to do. You don't have scholarships,
mm-hmm.
so you take, you know, loans and whatnot. But, yeah, it's just became a cultural habit. And
yeah,
yeah.
It's hard to break sometimes.
Definitely.
Let me
definitely.
Take another break, and we'll come right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. I want to mention the statement that you made about engagement
mm-hmm.
and talk about that a little bit more, because
right.
I think that's probably going to be the key
okay.
in this generation.
Right.
You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and I totally forgot to check our email for email questions, so let's do that now. My guest tonight is Hala Saeed from the Center for Academic Success. We're talking about how academically mature are you as a student, and we're also talking about procrastination and motivation, because that seems to be where a lot of students get hung up, basically. Let me go to my email and see if I can pull up. I think we've got a few questions. What about, are you willing to take some, Hala?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And we might have already talked about this, but no, we haven't. It doesn't look like we have. Are there helpful apps that I can use to stay motivated for school? And if so, what do you recommend?
Well, definitely use your calendar, your Crimson calendar. Because with that, you could get reminders to do your work or to read or just to take a break, you know, reminder for classes. I know for my job, I use the calendar just to put everything, right. You know, my meetings with students. Yeah.
Yeah, I beg students to do that.
And those are helpful, especially, you know, we are distracted by so many different things, you know. I mean, just with the university, we have like over 300 organizations. So it's really difficult.
Thursday, remind everyone, get on board day. It's Thursday. You know, I find that Caroline was in here helping us with the microphones during one of the breaks, and I asked her, you know, do you procrastinate as a student because you're a senior? And she said she used to, but she's done a better job because she's gotten an agenda, a paper agenda. And
definitely,
I find that so many students who really do well in school, they have to visually see what they have planned. But now I've had students come in before and say, oh, I can just keep it in my mind. You know, I just can remember it. But after a while, your brain gets full.
Definitely. And, you know, like I said, you know, you're distracted by too many things, and it's just easy, you know, for your memory to fail you and to remember. But if you write it down, it's going to be very hard to ignore it.
That's right.
But like you said, it has to be somewhere where you could see it and not, you know, just leave it in the kitchen or in the fridge. So it has to be where you could constantly see it.
What about the apps? I wanted to mention, we are going to have a show actually this semester on useful mental health apps. So it's a little pub for the show, but I always try to recommend, you know, because most students, most everyone now has their phone with them, their smartphone with them, and it's so easy to be able to go to that and
check out
some ways to motivate yourself or, you know, some self-help.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that and just to have apps, but my only worry is, you know, there's so much that you could do with your phone and just getting the notifications, you know, from Facebook or Instagram, that it could be easy to just get off track.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I know for my students, my recommendation, I mean, it might not work for all students, but if you do want to get something done, then you turn those kind of distractions, so turn off your phone or stay away from TV and from your bed.
Well, and some, you know, I mentioned seeking support or getting professional help. Also, one of the motivations that are mentioned that works, one of the strategies, excuse me, is to practice self-care. And I can speak a little bit about that because a lot of students come in and they're so, you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, they're so stressed and anxious because they feel behind, because they have procrastinated, or either they don't know how to study or they have poor study skills. But they need to realize that they've got to get some sleep and eat right and all the kind of things that your mom's going to tell you to do. But it really catches up with you after a while if you don't take care of yourself.
Definitely. I mean, procrastination, I mean, it leads you to stress more. And when you stress and have an anxiety, you don't sleep well.
No.
So it does have, you know, it could harm you in many ways, not just academically. But just taking care of yourself, exercising, taking a walk. I know for me, just walking from home to work.
Yeah.
That helps me a lot, you know. It just kind of just
think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I walk from work or from class to home, it kind of just helped me kind of just release, you know, everything that has been going on throughout my mind. So, yeah, it's really important that students find a way that could help them release their stress and just to get, you know, energized, you know, for the following day or for the evening.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, when I was working on my dissertation, it was so hard to get motivated to continue with something that you've worked on for 2 years or maybe longer straight.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to have the same location to study in.
Yes.
And a pleasant location at that. It may sound silly, but I'm the type of person, and if any of you who are listening have ever been to my office at the counseling center, you'll know that I have a lot of stuff in my office. And that's just a security blanket for me. I really like it to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for when I was working on my dissertation. You know, I would have a candle going. It was in one of my bedrooms that's decorated like the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, it was just a good vibe, even though I got frustrated, don't get me wrong, and I needed to take breaks. But I think that was really a big factor in helping me to complete what I needed to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you need, when you have a specific time for studying, you know, or a specific place, You know, when you go to that place to start doing work and you do it regularly, it kind of just gives kind of like a, it triggers your brain a little bit.
Yeah,
it gives you
right.
like a signal that it's time for study mm-hmm. and it's time to do the work. So yeah, definitely it does help to, you know, to study at the same place as, you know, at a certain time. And it's for students, it's really important to kind of just to start monitoring themselves and start becoming like, you know, self-aware.
Right.
Because if you know what time works for you, is it in the evening, is it in the morning, what place, you know, what kind of environment works for you, mm-hmm. then you'll be able to do well. But, you know, you have to be willing to, you know, to try different places, different times.
That's
and
right.
just,
and
you know.
And find what's comfortable
yeah,
for
and
you.
Yeah, and see what because, works for you.
Yeah, just because you go to, you know, McClure Library, oh my gosh, and study and don't get a lot done, change the location.
Definitely,
I mean,
definitely.
Try something else. Before we went to break, I mentioned student engagement. One of the statements I read was that student engagement is often the first step on the path to student motivation, okay. which is what you touched on. You know, we just finished up with the week of welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're finished with it. Yeah. You know, and there's something to be said. I can remember a time when everything was done in the daytime, you know, and you really didn't see a whole lot of university staff members, professors out at night or in the evening. But the week of welcome is just kind of non-traditional now, and you have a lot more activities in the evening that are engaging students. And I really think that is instrumental in motivating students to want to learn and to want to get to know this community and the university community too.
Definitely. Just by engaging, you know, with the university, you do feel connected and you feel part of that community. And when you do feel like you have a place and you have connections, you know, that's when you kind of you know, just kind of feel relaxed and you stop being homesick.
Yeah.
And you take
you
this
kind of
as
find your purpose too,
right? And it feels like it's like your new community. Mm-hmm. So it does help students
belong,
to belong, yeah, uh-huh. and to feel connected and you know, just to be engaged.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for being on the show.
My
this
pleasure. Thank you.
I think this has been a good show to start the semester off on the right foot, hopefully.
Definitely. I hope so.
Again, we've been talking to Hala Saeed. She's from the Center for Academic Success. Tell us where you're located and how you can be contacted.
Yeah. So we're in Osborn Hall, which is across from Foster Auditorium and next to Mary Burke Hall. Mm-hmm. So we are, you know, on campus.
Right in the middle.
Yes. We are open on Mondays through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. So the students should not have
late.
A reason
no
not
excuses.
To. Yes. and we just hired new staff, and I'm one of those staff so that we could start serving more students. On Fridays, we're open from 8 to 4:45. But yeah, we offer all of our, you know, the tutoring services are all in the evening and they're walk-in, so the students could come anytime.
What's your website?
CAS.UA.edu.
Okay.
So they could contact through an email, fill a form to request
on
any kind
website.
Of service, yeah, on the website, or they could just stop by.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an open invitation for you people.
Yes,
who
definitely.
Are already on the wrong foot. It's only been a week. Let me read a few announcements before we close. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on the Audio Boom website. It's audioboom.com. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's a link to Audio Boom on the Counseling Center's website, and that's www.counseling.ua.edu. I want to mention that we are starting to publicize our support groups that we offer through the Counseling Center. We offer a number of groups and workshops to students throughout the year, and for a current list of groups, dates, and times, please visit our website. I just mentioned it's counseling.ua.edu and click the support groups link under the counseling tab. You can also call us at the Counseling Center. It's 205-348-3863. And you should be starting to see in all the buildings some digital signage with the list of our groups, just some examples of the groups that we offer. I do a group actually called Wired and Tired Strategies for Managing Your Anxiety. There's one that Catherine leads, co-leads with Jerry Middleton. It's called Creative Stress Relief Workshop. Color Me Empowered is a support group for women of color. There's also a group for international students called Success and Growth in the U.S. Workshop. There's a group that we do for first-generation students, first-generation student support group. And finally, we have a body image, self-kindness, and self-image group. So call us or go on our website and look up the times. If you're interested, just show up or give us a call. Give the group leader a call. I always like to thank people who have made the show possible. And again, this year we've been doing the show since January 2013. But once again, I want to thank Dr. Lee Keyes. He's our executive director at the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media. My production assistants this year, Catherine Howell, Caroline Harris, and Natalie Beck. And my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and my guest tonight, Hala Saeed. Next week, we'll be talking about anorexia in males. We're going to have one of our student athletes here on campus come and talk to us for the whole hour, so that should be a very interesting show. Thanks again for listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, the Capstone, Houndstooth, and Hard Hats. It's so hard for me to say. They're up next, so stay tuned.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional healthcare and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.